Miracles, and we're talking about this. I believe in miracles, and I believe in life change and miracles. And it's interesting because if miracles, as you take it apart in Scripture, actually means signs. It means pointing to something else. It means something when you go down a road and you see advertisements. What a sign's there for is to point to something bigger. Miracles are always pointing to something. The signs are never pointing to themselves. They're always pointing to something bigger than themselves. And when we talk about miracles, miracles happen, and they're always a sign of saying they're always pointing to something different. For instance, when we share our stories and testimonies, it's not pointing back to us. We're not, saying we're not the object. It's pointing to what God has done. It's pointing to something greater than ourselves. One of the things I've been sharing the last few weeks is that we live a life in miracles, that every day is a miracle. That, for instance, last week I talked about Jupiter and how crazy just the fact that Jupiter is in our solar system, Big Brother Jupiter, is actually protecting us from comets and different things. That we don't, how many times do we thank God every single day? God, thank you for Big Brother Jupiter that we're not hit by more stuff. Isn't that crazy? That God puts things, I'm going to share you this, the moon. Anybody ever thank the Lord for creating the moon today? Think about this. The moon's considerable gravity gives us our oceans, their ebbing and flow tides. If it wasn't for the moon, you wouldn't have the tides and the flowing tides of the ocean. If the moon was slightly bigger, it would cause larger tides and even tidal waves. Larger moon means more gravity that could create up to 100-foot tides constantly. That means there'd be coastal cities and villages gone. If the moon was slightly smaller, which means less gravitational pull, that means the tides would be insufficient, this is crazy, to cleanse coastal seawater and replenish its own nutrients. The moon's size and distance helps stabilize even the Earth's rotational axis. Because of the gravity of the moon, we spin at a certain rate because of what the moon's gravity does. This helps us create seasons and temperatures. What else? Anybody else? Is this fresh to anybody else? Does this make your mind just go, what? And we also, and the moon doesn't even create light. It all does is reflect. And so I'm amazed. So today's scripture verse, I just want to talk about miracles. And some people have never thought about the story as a miracle, but in Mark chapter 11, we get this Palm Sunday thing going on where Jesus is coming to town, entering town. So I'm just going to read this. Mark chapter 11, verse 1, it says, as they approached Jerusalem, Jesus sent his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter, you will find a colt tied to a tree or a donkey, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, just say, the Lord needs, this is awesome, the Lord needs it and we'll send it back here shortly. And we got to trust that, right? The Lord needs it, so just send it back. They went and found a colt outside the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people were standing there asking, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches. They had cut off palm branches in the fields. Those who went ahead of those followed shouted, Hosanna. Just so you know, this goes back to Psalms, the word Hosanna. And Hosanna literally means to save us. They're saying God here to save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Verse 10 says, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple courts, and he looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. I'm going to read another scripture verse. Zechariah, Old Testament 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes right to you, coming to the front door. Your king comes, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt. And this is an Old Testament given a prophecy to what's going on. So let me just spread this out a little bit. They're probably coming through. The disciples and Jesus are coming through. They're probably passing. Herod's temple where the Pharisees were praying. And what they, and this is like, if you think about like a, you know, one of those like ticker tape parades, this is what's going on. When a ruler would come in, they would have these ceremonies. And when the prince, and usually what would happen is a prince or somebody high would come in on their big stallion of a horse with all these ornaments, and they would come in and people would shout and clap, and they would put down their own clothing and put it down, and they would come in this way. But here comes Jesus, not in that way. He comes on a little donkey that wasn't even owned. They just had a borrowed donkey that they had to bring in. So it's the reason that's interesting is the religious people at that time, the Jews at that time, and the Pharisees, here's what you guys got to catch. Here's the greatest irony. So here it is. In the Old Testament, it says that there's going to come a Messiah. A Messiah is going to come, and they're praying, literally saying the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to come and change everything. He's going to come and change over systems and governments. He's going to bring salvation for all of us. And so these Pharisees and some of these Jews were literally in the temple at this time, and this is what they were praying for. They were praying for the Messiah to come. Anybody realize this? They were literally praying, Messiah is going to show up. Help us be ready, come. And all of a sudden, they hear this noise in the streets. They're in Herod's temple. They're praying, saying, God, bring the Messiah. Let it come in our generation. Let us be ready. Let us prepare the way. And they're praying for the Messiah to come. And here comes Jesus on this little donkey, and everybody's shouting, Hosanna in the highest. You know, put on palm branches. And then it says in John 12, it says that some of these Pharisees came out and scolded the people for being too loud because they were praying for the Messiah. Anybody else catching this so far? Isn't this crazy? So they are now getting mad because of Palm Sunday, because they're sitting mad saying, stop being so loud because we're trying to pray for the Messiah, and they were a few feet away from missing the visitation from the true Messiah. Still to this day, generations of people are still praying for the return of the Messiah. Not the second coming, the first coming. And they're still praying, the Messiah comes. And these people in this day were praying for the Messiah, and they were just a few. It's like having this mentality saying, what's all that noise? We are having a service here. We are praying for the Messiah. What are you doing? They missed the answer. Here's what's crazy. They missed the answer to their own miracle because the miracle didn't show up the way they expected him to show up. Here's the truth about it. Because of the way they were living, they were expecting the Messiah to come on this stallion. They were expecting the Messiah to come and turn over the governments. They were expecting the Messiah to do things differently. And what they were never looking for is the Messiah to come in the way he came in, humble, on a donkey, and come in the approach he had. And so these people who are saying, one group is saying, here is the Messiah. The other group is saying, he's not here yet, because they're missing it, because the way Jesus showed up is not the way they're expecting it. Are you guys on the same page with me here? Everybody here, right? Everybody's with me? The reason this is interesting is I believe in our own life, they did not recognize their own miracle because they thought Jesus doesn't come the way they were expecting. For instance, Jesus is known for this, honestly. We did not recognize a miracle because we could not recognize the Messiah. Jesus is known. He came as a baby in a manger. And even John the Baptist at one time says, is he the son of God? I know I baptized this guy, but he's a little bit different than I thought he would be. But isn't this just true of his Father of God? Even God doesn't come. He came in a burning bush to Moses. In the Old Testament, he talks through a donkey to a prophet. And then he whispers to Elijah, and I believe in God is in the business of showing up in ways that we don't expect. I read this from a book. I'm going to say it says, first century Jews expected a Messiah to save them from the Romans. What they got and what we got was a God willing to do more than establish a political, earthly kingdom. He came to save us from ourselves, from our sinfulness, and from our selfishness, from the real problem. He didn't come to reestablish the kingdom on earth. He came to reestablish the kingdom in heaven. What's interesting is the same people, a lot of the same people who were shouting, saying, he's the Messiah, and saying, Hosanna, less than a week later, some of those same people were shouting, crucify him. And I'll say this, here's my honesty this morning. Some of us do the same thing too. Some of us do the same thing in our own lives, and I'm just going to be honest with myself. Sometimes when God doesn't show up the way that we want him to show up, isn't it easy for us to go from he's awesome, he's the Messiah, to saying, well, why didn't God help me? I've been part of many churches over the years, different churches. I grew up in Wilmer and went to Brainerd. We were at Emmanuel Christian Center. We were at different places all over. And one of the things I hear all the time from different people was just, there is so many hurt people within, and I'm not, and there's hurt people all around the world, but I'm surprised the amount of Christians who get hurt by other Christians. Anybody else amazed by this? Like, this is what amazes me. My dad says it this way. He goes, it's never right when the wounded keep on shooting, when we keep on shooting the wounded when they're already wounded. And we keep on putting these things out there, and a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, even leave churches because of their hurt and the pain. And I always want to say, one of the things I tell people when they go through this stuff is, listen, you got to be about the Father's business. What is your Heavenly Father doing? Because this is what Jesus is talking about, saying, I'm going to show up in a different way than you expect. And when I told our people before service is this, I think mentality-wise, we want God to show up the way we want him to show up in this little tiny box, the way we can explain it to other people and just say, this is how it works, this is how it looks, and this is how what's going to happen. And what happens is God shows up a different way, or God speaks to us a different way, or God uses somebody else, or God shows up a different way, and sometimes we don't recognize it because we're not open to seeing it in a different way. And I wonder in my own life, how many times did I miss the Jesus in a situation because I was waiting for him to show up in a different way that I never saw before. And for instance, like how Dan, our worship guy, said this morning, I was going to show this anyway, just saying, when I got married to my wife Jane, I married her for who she is. I didn't go into the marriage saying, once I get married to her, I'm going to change her into my little perfect little box, what I think she should be. Trust me, that's not going to work. And if you're in a marriage and you're trying to change someone into, you're not allowing them to be kind of them, then that's the thing. We're trying to fit these things. And it even says in Scripture that God is almost unexplainable. It says that heaven and heaven's heavens can't even contain the Lord. So the question I have is, then how does our little boxes that we create contain the creator of the universe? So what if God shows up in a way we don't expect? How does that look in our own little life? So I'm going to give you just a few quick things. And there's a picture. There's a called expectations versus reality tool. My friend Scott Wilson showed this to me a few years ago. And I'm telling you right now, this applies in your marriage. This applies in your life. This applies in your own work life. And this applies with your kids and everything. So here's how it works. If you set your expectations here, let me just put it in the neutral way. If I tell my wife, and I've been busy all day, and I tell my wife, hey, baby, I'm going to be home at 6:30. And she's like, okay, we're going to get supper ready, be home at 6:30. So the expectation is I'm going to be home at 6:30, supper's going to be ready, and she's all set, ready to go for it. What will happen? Now, the reality is, let's say I show up at 8:45 and I never tell her why I was late. So the expectation is that I set was that I was going to be there at 6:30 or 6 o'clock, whatever, and I show up at a different time. That means the expectation was up here, but the reality was here. And I'm telling you, and when this happens at work and you're a boss, or this happens when I'm a pastor, this happens, I'm telling you what happens. The gap in between the top expectation in reality is called frustration. And honestly, lack of trust. Because what happens is, you begin to, your word is not no longer valid. If I keep on setting, now listen, we're all, anybody perfect, raise your hand. Right? We're in, quick, that's me. So we are imperfect beings who serve a perfect God, and so we're going to make mistakes. But even if I tell even that vision Sunday, not that's always going to work, but here's the direction that we're heading, Lord willing. When we set expectation, but the reality is way over here, there's something that, there's a big gap there. Does that make sense? Anybody else see this in their own life? Like, and so now if you flip it, you can go to the next one. If you, yeah, chart number two, if you have the expectation here, but the reality is up here, you have this thing of like energy, excitement, peace, and that's when the word becomes valid. One of my favorite things to hear with Watermark is when people say, I came to your church for the first time. I don't like hearing this, but I like the next part. I wasn't expecting much. Oh, okay. It's kind of nice. And they said, I was really surprised by what you guys do, how friendly it is, and you guys put up pipe and drapes, and you get free gifts, and there's great worship, and the pastor so-so. But I was really, and they say, like, it was, you know what I'm saying? Because what it is I would rather live in the area of surprise and excitement. Anybody else with me here? Because I'm not saying you should always shoot your expectation low, but I think that we should always be living in reality saying, what can we do? Because one of the things that happened was, it wasn't Jesus' fault that these people were praying for him and they didn't. It wasn't Jesus' fault. He was telling prophecies in the Old Testament, here I was going to show up. It says he's going to come on a donkey. It's not because he didn't pre-warn them or he didn't set it up. That was the reality. God said in the Old Testament, this is the reality. The problem is their sinful nature creates unexpected expectations that should not be there. And if those things are not of the Lord, trust me, if those things are not of the Lord, there will be a gap in all of our spiritual lives. We will miss what God wants to do because we're waiting for it our way. What's interesting about that is I think about my own life, and you talk about our kids and marriages and everything. And for instance, I'll put it to you this way. My wife and I did a garage sale before we moved here. We had a bigger house. We did a garage sale. Our neighbor, and she's probably going to listen to this podcast in a few more weeks, so she's going to laugh, but she had these signs that from a former, I didn't want to build new yards, garage sale signs, so we borrowed hers. She had these giant signs that said, large family multiple garage sale. And if you're ever a garage sale person, you're like, wow, that's like music to my ears, right? So we put these signs out, and I'm telling you, our garage sale was pretty good. We had a couple of families, and it was good. It wasn't the best garage sale, but it was a pretty good garage sale. Everybody that pulled up and went to our garage sale, because they saw the signs, was disappointed. For one, it's a garage sale. I'm like, I thought that was pretty irony. People are telling us how bad our garage sale was. And I was like, dude, are you serious? I'm like, it's a garage sale. Like, when we put out amazing stuff here, it's a garage sale. So what's amazing, they would actually complain saying, well, we're expecting, you had big signs on the road. We're expecting crazy stuff. And I'm like, well, sorry. Sorry to undeliver our garbage to you, you know? And what's interesting is that, but though we set the bar so crazy out there, expectation-wise, that when people came up, they were expecting something that wasn't truly the truth about it in their own minds. They already created something. And I think it's interesting because we live in the world. Just the other day, I shared this with our life group. By the way, if you're not in a life group, jump in one. We had a great talk, and I shared with our life group the other night saying, to me, we always compare church to something. I was at a bakery the other day, and I was just thinking, church is like a bakery almost. People come in early. Doug pointed this out. People come in early and get the stuff ready. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden you're getting, you know what I'm saying? And the things rise and it smells amazing. Hopefully this church smells good. But there's an aroma and there's just people come in expecting. But what if you go into, and that's good, but what if you go into a bakery and there's no smell and you say, I want a donut, I want bread, and there's no bread. And the only thing they have is stale bread. Think about that. Or just moldy stuff. Why? We don't have anything fresh. We have nothing new. And this is what a lot of churches have been. And this is what I don't want to become this way. I don't want to be a bakery that offers stale or no bread. And God says, I am the bread of life. Is that making sense? And God says, I want to come in and give you the real thing. Not some imitation. I'm telling you, do you want to know what my expectations are? I want to be a church that not just has, you know, I want to be part of the community. I want to be a church that when you come in here, that you feel the Lord's presence. And when you're ascending next face to face with the Lord, something has to change. That you walk out of here more passionate for the Lord than when you came in here. That you're walking out and you're believing in miracles for your family. That you're believing in miracles for work. And this week you can go, I'm going to invite my coworker to work. I know they're atheists. I know they hate the Lord. But greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. And I just want to walk out with that power and just knowing who God is in you. And you want to know what the expectations are? God is bigger than we are. And let God do his thing. One of my favorites is to hear you guys' stories of how God is using your story and your testimony and your life to change the people around you. That's what God has called us to do, to be part of something great. What's interesting about it is this, is if we love our city, we need to serve our city. If we say we love people, then we need to be the arms and feet of Jesus. If we say we need to be godly parents, then we need to be parents who seek Jesus. If we say we believe in miracles, then we need to be people who step out in faith. If we say that we believe Jesus heals and restores, then we need to be people who will lay hands and pray for people who need to be restored. If we say that he is the Messiah, then we need to be people who trust the Lord and give him everything. There's no shortcuts. And here's the deal. Either you will encounter the Lord or you will miss him. Either you will meet with him or you'll miss him. The greatest miracle in life, and this is what I've been saying over and over again, is a heart change. I'm just going to tell you, this is one of the craziest stories, and I haven't asked if I can share it, but here we go, so hopefully. But when I was I was in Wilmer, and I was in high school at that time, and we didn't have a youth pastor in our church, and at that time, they just needed some extra help, so I would think I was a senior going to be a freshman in college, and I was volunteering. There was about 30 students there. Our good friends at the church at that time, their name is, Shelly and Tracy were helping, and they were doing worship and different things, and so we were praying with kids and having fun and doing stuff, and then when service ended about, everybody started leaving at 9, we continued to talk in this giant parking lot at church, and I won't ever forget it. I was talking to, Shelly and Tracy just about church and life and what's going to happen next week, and just kind of dreaming about the youth group and stuff, and then Tracy was just sharing about some of the hard things he's going through. He couldn't explain it. He was not depression, but just some stuff emotionally. Even with his family, he just could not explain it. And he says there was a point where he's actually feeling distant from the Lord. And we're just talking it through, and it became like 10:30 at night. Even the lights in the parking lot were all going out. Like, we're just standing there in the dark. And as we're talking, we're about ready to leave, and this little white minivan pulls up. And we're like, huh, that's weird. And out walks this little short lady. And we're like, huh. And then we notice that she's carrying a bottle of Crisco oil. I'm like, big bottle. And we're like, huh. This is getting weird. And she's walking right towards us. And I'm going, I'm just standing there going, dude, this is weird. And all of a sudden, she walks up to us and she says, a year ago tonight, I was praying and doing my devotions, and the Lord spoke to me and said, and I wrote it down in my journal saying, a year from now, at this time, I want you to take some oil, I want you to go to this church parking lot, I want you to look for this guy, and she goes, I want you to pray over him, and I want you to anoint him with oil. And if you ever heard about anointing people with oil, it's usually like a little dab on the forehead or something. So I'm going, wacko. And all of a sudden, Tracy, my friend, didn't have that thought at all. He goes, okay. And I'm like, what? And so we walk over this grass area. He leads the way. And he just, this is like natural for him. I'm like, this is weird. He gets on his knees. He's just like this. This is what he just gets on his knees. And he's like this. He puts his hands up. He begins to worship and pray by himself. And all of a sudden, she takes this bottle of Crisco oil, opens it up, begins to pray, and pours it all over him from the head all the way down. That was weird. And I'm going, what is going on? I mean, there's oil just all over his shirt, all over, and I'm going, this is the weirdest thing I've ever been part of. But then something happened. It's like a donkey with a Messiah came to town, and all of a sudden, you guys ever been in the Lord's presence just so strong, you feel like something is happening? And I felt it so strong that I couldn't be in the midst. Like, I had to say, God, you got to heal me of my own stuff. And I went away and I started having my own time of prayer and just praying. And here's the thing. We got back together after a few minutes, and Tracy looked up with tears in his eyes and oil all over his hair. He looked up, and this is what he said. He says, because he was going through some stuff, and this is what he said. He goes, it's amazing that we serve a God that knew 1 year ago I was going to need this tonight. Isn't it amazing that we serve a God who has told a little lady in our community to send oil all the way to this church service, to this parking lot, and we would be here, and I'm going to be in a state where I need something a little bit extra today, even if it was goofy, to know that the Lord is doing something miraculous here tonight. Isn't that crazy? I'm just saying, in our own lives, sometimes the crazy, the moments, I won't ever forget, and I share the story, we're going to have the worship team up here. I won't ever forget the time I was at North Central, and I had my dad's old minivan. Remember that red minivan? That was falling apart, and I was in the North Central Bible College parking lot, and I'm leaving, and all of a sudden, there's this homeless guy in front of me who has a grocery cart full of stuff, and it was super cold. I think it was below zero, and all of a sudden I look at him, and I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to me right away. Says, do something. And I'm on my way to go meet somebody. I have an appointment. I am on my way to a destination. I'm going, not today. And the Holy Spirit said, do it. So all of a sudden I got in my van, and I said, hey, do you need a ride? Where are you going? He goes, I'm going down the library, down the street. He goes, and I said, you need a lift? He goes, that'd be great. So we unloaded his grocery cart, put it all in my van. Good thing I had a minivan. I can tell you that right now. Put it all in my minivan, loaded it up. He hopped in. And unbeknownst to me, I had no gas in the van left. So I couldn't go all the way to the library. So I had to go find a gas station. So I got in my van with him, and I got in my vehicle, and we drove. I said, is it okay if I get gas? He goes, for sure. So here I am, this homeless guy in my car, older guy, and me going to get gas, get to the gas station, put gas in it, put $20 in it, go inside the convenience store, pull up my check card, and they said, oh, our check card machine's busted, and we don't have an ATM. Do you have any other form of payment? And I said, no. They said, okay, what's my options? He goes, you can leave your car here, and right down the street there's a liquor store that has an ATM machine in it. I said, this is great. So here's where I'm at. I have a homeless guy in my car. I have a tank. I can't move my van because it has to stay there. They have my driver's license inside the convenience store, and I have to walk to a liquor store to get some cash. So that's a great story to tell the homeless guy, right? So as I go, I start walking. I go in the liquor store. The guy's like, the cash machine's in the back. So I walk all the way back, and I stand in front of the cash machine, and it says this. There's a big sign that says out of order on it. And I said, now what? I'm not going to ask a homeless guy for money. And you might be mad. I don't know. If I'm not going to ask him for money. So I stood there, and I said, again, and I chuckled, and I just said, whatever you want to do, Lord. And I want to forget, as I'm walking out of the liquor store, this guy with I'm not kidding you when I say this. He had white pants and a white shirt. He walks up to me and says, here's $40. I saw that you need some money for gas. Here you go. He gave me the money. He walks out, hops in his green Ford Taurus, and just drives away. Two things I learned that day. Number one, angels drive Ford green Tauruses. I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, he walked in and gave me the money. But the most amazing part of the story is I went back to my car, paid off the debt, and took the homeless guy out for lunch with the extra $20. Can I just tell you this? God may not show up the way you want him to show up, but you serve a God who always delivers. Just show of hands. Who in this room, let's just be honest, in this room saying, maybe the Lord didn't show up the way you expected, but the Lord showed up in a better way than you expected. Raise your hands. Let's just listen, keep your hands up for a second. You're really high. Do you understand that every one of these hands is a story of how God comes into a situation and makes things better? Every single one of these stories is a story of a testimony of how God shows up even in unexpected ways. He shows up to do what he's doing. Just put your hands down. I want to read this quick. It says this. It says, I thank God that he does not live up to my expectations because he is bigger. Think about that. He doesn't live up to my expectations. He's bigger than my expectations. His ways are bigger than my ways. I'm glad that God did not show up the way I was expecting. He showed up even better over and over and over. His ways are not our ways. And I'm glad we do not come. He did not come with a political agenda. He came with a cross agenda. He is greater than my deepest thoughts. My challenge to you this morning is this. Expect God to show up. But expect him to show up the way he wants to show up. Your responsibility is to get yourself ready. Allow him to surprise you. And let me just read the scripture verse again. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine. Think about that. He can do more than you can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Those prodigal kids that you're praying for, those people that you know don't know the Lord, he is revealing and he is doing work before you even ask or imagine. He knows. He knows these things. The pain that you're going through, he sees it. He sees these things. But he can do immeasurably more than we can even ever ask or imagine because he is within us. Everybody stand up this morning. You know what I'm telling you? As this shepherd here, one of my greatest fears, I'm telling you, one of my greatest fears, people ask me all the time, is it easy for you to meet new people? I'm telling you, sometimes it is not easy. Sometimes, I don't care what kind of personality you have, sometimes it's not easy to walk up to a stranger and say, hey, what's your name? Yeah, it's me. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy. But you know what? You know what? Instead of fearing people, you know what I fear? A missed opportunity that God gives me. I'm more afraid to miss something that God's asked me to do than meeting somebody new, so I just go do it because I'm afraid that I'm going to miss what God has already brought into my path. As a shepherd, one of my fears is, if you ask me, I don't want to miss a moment that God has for me designed. Anybody else with me on this? I don't want to miss a moment. I don't want to miss a time. I don't want to be too busy that I miss a moment. I don't want to be too scared that I miss a moment. I don't want to live in fear that I miss a moment, because when he is here, he is here. I'm telling you, he is here for you. Everybody close your eyes, bow your heads. For some people, this is your next step. This is your next moment. If you're here this morning, you would say, I don't want to be like these people and just be waiting for something, but I don't want to miss a moment. And Lord, if you're real, maybe some of you in this room haven't committed your life to the Lord for the first time, or maybe you have, and if you're saying, I don't want to miss him this morning. My relationship with the Lord needs some work. And that's you. No one's looking around. I just want you to raise your hand. Don't be afraid. I see it. It's awesome. I better repeat after me. Dear Jesus, Lord, forgive me my sins. Lead me. Guide me. Be the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed for a second. If you're here this morning and you're declaring, saying, I don't want to miss a miracle, what I've been praying for. I don't want to miss a moment. I don't want to miss a visitation from the Lord. I want to be ready for what God is doing. I don't want to be self-centered, but Lord, I want to be cross-centered. I want to be focused on the things of you, and I want to live differently from this day forth. I want this to be different. Lord, I want to set a new path. And if that's you, and just declaring this morning and saying, today is different. I want to be a person who leaves the boat and walks on the water with the Lord and saying, Lord, how crazy this is. Speak to me in new ways. Speak to me in new life ways. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand this morning. Just declare it this morning. And when you raise your hand, just begin to pray, Lord. Lord, show in me these things. Show in me these things. Well, Lord, what are you speaking to me? We're going to get into worship this morning, but just begin to pray. He can do immeasurably more than even what we can even imagine or ask because he's inside of you. Let's just worship this morning.